Psalm 92. Verse 13, where it says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. So in thinking about I love my church, there's something about being planted in God's house where flourishing takes place. And I was so blessed, and we were so blessed in our pre-service prayer meeting this morning from verse 14. They will still bear fruit in old age. So God is a multi-generational God. Isn't it amazing? In the church, there is something for all of us to do. God's not ageist, regardless of our age, and they will stay fresh and green. Amazing. That no matter how old we are, we always have something fresh from the Lord to pass on to people. So, as I said today, I'm starting the new sermon season called I Love My Church. And to open with, I'll put this to you. When you were born, your mother probably brought you to church. When you were married, your wife probably brought you to church. When you die, hopefully your friends will probably bring you to church. Why not try coming to church on your own sometime? You know that the church is a great love story. The church is the great love of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves the church. In fact, he loves the church so much that he calls the church something romantic. He calls the church his bride. And he calls himself our groom. Now, I don't know about you, but certainly in first world Western countries, I have never attended a wedding where I've seen an unhappy bride. So there's something about the bride of Christ preparing herself for her groom, which is absolutely awesome. The church is also my great love. I love the church of Jesus Christ. And I feel that God at this time in church history is looking once again for a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, yes, but he's also looking for a people who will love his church. And there are a lot of reasons why we should love the church. As I said earlier, the church is the bride, and Jesus is going to marry his bride. Jesus doesn't have any other plan. Jesus doesn't have any other plan to save humanity. The church is his plan across the generations. For as long as I can remember going to church. Not in a religious kind of a way, but in a life-giving kind of a way. You know, doing the job I do, I don't think it's a job, it's a calling, but never mind. Doing the job I do, you know, whenever they find out, let me put it this way. It can be a real wet blanket on a party when somebody asks you, what do you do? And I'm saying, I'm a minister of a church. It's like, several years ago, not yet, in another area we're living in England, I went to a barber for a first time in the high street, a new place we were living in that stage. And the barber asked me, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm the minister of the local church. Snip. He snipped my ear. And his words were, you know, I'm not religious. And my words back, well, neither am I. Because coming to church serving Jesus isn't about a religion. You know, I can sit in a garage, it's not going to make me a motor car. We can sit in church, it's not going to make us a Christian. It's about this living, vital relationship with Jesus. And may I put it to you this morning, folks, that if we love Jesus, we will love what Jesus loves. If you've got a really good friend and you really have that good knit of a good friendship with that person and you have that wonderful love for the person, you end up loving what that person loves. You may not have loved opera, but getting to know the person, you love opera. I love my wife Isabel, it goes without say. And I don't say that to earn brownie points either. I use it as a sermon illustration, but it's true, I love her. But before I met her, I knew nothing about art. I mean, I'm a warm-blooded South African bloke. What do I know about art? She's a fine artist. But because I love her, I love walking around art exhibitions with her. I love art. I see something in it now. Because I love her, I love what she loves. Because we love Jesus, we end up loving what he loves, and he loves his church. Now, to understand why we should love the church, we need to understand what the church is all about. Are you still with me this morning? Okay, one person is, praise the Lord for you. So ecclesiology, I know it sounds like a big word, enough to put us to sleep. Ecclesiology, very simply put, is the study of the church. It is the theology applied to the nature and to the structure of the church. So we need to understand ecclesiology, the structure and the nature of the church, what church is. Several years ago, I was preparing a lecture on the church. Certain church asked me to come to the Bible school and preach or lecture on the church at their Bible school. And my kids were a lot younger then, and throughout the day, they kept running into the study. I said, look, leave Dad alone today. I've got a last-minute lecture to put together. And they kept knocking on the door and coming in. And every time they came in, I said this to them, you are the church. And they used to start giggling. They didn't know what that meant. And then they knocked on the door 15 minutes later, and I looked at them and said, you are the church. And it carried on throughout the day into the early hours of the evening. Every time they knocked on the door, you are the church. And they laughed because they couldn't imagine themselves looking like bricks in a steeple. But we are the church. Church is not a building. That's why when we say we love the church, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, I mean, we get some people who love trees, aren't they? And they're tree huggers. Maybe you're one of them. God bless you. Okay. We get some people who love the church. Does that mean we love this? The wall and we become, you know, church huggers? The church is the people. Ecclesiology. In fact, which comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means a called out people for a purpose. An assembly. That sounds a bit like school, doesn't it? But it's a called out people for a purpose. So God calls us out. And not only does he call us out, he calls us out as a people. And not only does he call us out as a people, he calls us out as a people with a purpose. We are on a divine mission when we're in the church. Isn't that great? You know, one thing about British cinema, they make some great spy movies and great James Bond movies and great, you know, whatever movies, you know, with people on a mission. But we're on a mission. We're on God's mission. And it's not a secret mission. It's a mission for the whole world to know. So it's ecclesia, is the Greek word. Called out ones for a purpose. It has been said, I think I've got a slide for this one, Julian. Church is who we are, not where we go. The Bible says where two or more gather in his name, there he is in the midst of them. So potentially, whenever two or more Christians who are called out, who meet for a purpose, gather, there he is. So church, the people of God who are called out, can meet anywhere. We can meet in a building, which we call a church building. But we could meet in a cinema. We could meet in a tent. We could meet in a double garage. I've planted a church in Cape Town when I was a student with a Baptist minister in a deprived area. And we started in the pastor's garage. That double garages in South Africa are slightly bigger than double garages, yeah. They're designed for four humongous 4x4s to fit in with all the tools and a workshop. So it's a bit bigger. So I think maybe the size almost of this room. And once that filled up, the driveway filled up. Once that filled up, the army gave us a tent. We pitched the tent. Once that filled up, we took over the town hall. So it doesn't matter where we meet, but we called out with a purpose. And I see God being much more of an investor in people than in buildings. Because church is the people. Church is who we are, not where we go. Let's put the next one up, please. We, not me, is the church. The church is the corporate, the family of God, getting together with the purposes of God, pulsating through our veins, pulsating through our lives. So let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It's going to come up on the screen. So this is a bit of a background that we're going to launch into just a bit of practicalities, and then we're going to conclude. You'll be happy to know I have planned a conclusion. So the definition of the church we've looked at this morning is called out for a special purpose, an assembly. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's good. Not giving up meeting together. Let's not give up meeting together as the church. as some are in the habit of doing. You know, one thing about a habit, be it a good habit, be a bad habit. Once you get to week 6 of the habit, whatever you are doing becomes a normal part of your lifestyle. So if church going isn't part of your lifestyle, I'd encourage you, give it 6 weeks. 6 weeks, you make a commitment and say, I'm going to go to church. We say, I'm going to go to church every week for the next 6 weeks. Come rain, come shine, come whatever the British weather brings, I'm coming to church. So we see that church is called out people. But we also see that church is not just, you know, happy-go-lucky, lazy-fair, whatever happens, what happens, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. We see from Hebrews 13, verses 17 and 18, that church is under an organized leadership. It's quite biblical. It's in the New Testament. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to the authority. So there's an order in God's church because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. That's quite a scary scripture, not for church members, but for church leaders. Because church leaders, we need to give an account. But church members have their bit to do. Do this so that their work will be a joy. What must you do? A, have confidence, and B, submit. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Imagine a burdened shepherd. Because what a pastor is, he's a shepherd, or she's a shepherd. Think of, you know, a pasture, a nice pastoral scene, nice setting, rolling hills and sheep. But the sheep are constantly biting the shepherd. The shepherd's not going to have a good life. It's not going to help the sheep. But the sheep that are in and with it and there's love, going to be a great life. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. Yes, church leaders, we pray for you, but you also pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and a desire to live honorably in every way. So leaders live, and this is now to leaders, but to everyone, leaders lead from a clear conscience as well as living in an honorable way. Well, let's move on. When Jesus was on the earth, Matthew 18, can you put that up for us? Sorry, Matthew 16. Thanks, Julian. Next slide. Okay, it's being stubborn. Okay, I'll read it to you. Jesus spoke of the church as in the future. Do you realize that when Jesus was on earth, the church didn't exist? Jesus spoke of church in the future. He said, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Those words are still to be fulfilled. Peter referred in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 8, to Jesus as the rock. So when did the church begin? The church began in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember that? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, and Peter got up and preached under the inspiration of the Spirit, and 3,000 got saved. That's the age of the Holy Spirit. Church won't grow unless the Holy Spirit is there. We can't come to Jesus unless the Spirit calls us. And the Spirit calls every single person. I believe, folks, that the Bible teaches us the value of being planted and connected in our local church. And whatever is local to you, because we do live in a global world. We live in a world, though, that is very disconnected. It is separated. It is isolated. I never forget once we were having breakfast out and we were sitting and we were chatting and we were staring into each other's eyes. And then I glanced to the table next to us, a family of four, mum, dad, two teenagers, a boy and a girl. And all of them were on their own gadget throughout the entire breakfast. You know, dad looked like he was reading the newspaper. Mum was something on a gadget. One was watching a movie and the other was on social media. For the duration of the breakfast, I thought, where's the connection? And in church, it can be a bit like that where we all do our little own thing. But God calls us together for a common purpose to live out His will for our lives. I can tell you something, that when you get planted in your church, your life will be radically different because you are connecting yourself to what God loves. And there will be blessings and results and opportunities as you plant yourself in the house of God. We've probably all heard of Charles Spurgeon. the very famous Baptist preacher. And he said this: nobody can do as much damage to the church as the man who is within its walls, but not within its life. So my sermon application today is not only to be within the walls of the church, but come close to the heart of the church. Get involved in the life of the church. Love the people of the church. Love the leaders of the church. Love the things that God is doing in the church. And like any relationship, we don't love everything all at once. I'm sure when Isabel married me, there's things she found out about me that there wasn't everything that she loved at once. But as the years go by, you learn to love. And it's the same with the church. As the years go by, we learn to love. Amen. Jesus has not called us to live this Christian life on our own. He showed us by his own example. Jesus could have done life on his own. He was Jesus. He was the Christ. He was God incarnate in the flesh. He didn't need anyone's advice. He didn't need to get a committee together on how to do life and ministry. But he surrounded himself with people. And whenever he sent people out ministering, he never sent them out alone. There's something about the church which, when church is truly involved in society, we are the solution to society. We are not the problem in town, we're the solution in town. You're allowed to say amen to that. Now, very quickly, number one, the reason why we love the church, it gives us a great place to belong. It gives us a great place to belong. Nicky Gumbel, you may have heard of him. He's the guy who wrote the Alpha Course. He said this: church is not an organization you join. It is a family where you belong. So welcome to the family. It is a family where you belong. And in a sense, our world needs, our society, our culture needs a sense of belonging, a family where we belong. There may have been things that have happened in your life that make it difficult for you to belong. Maybe something happened in your natural family, something you saw, something that happened to you, which makes it difficult for you to belong to a family. Maybe something happened in a relationship with you, or at uni, or at school, or at work. And the desire to belong has been hurt. This morning I pray that the desire to belong to Jesus, the desire to belong to his church, be involved in the great love story of Jesus, the church, would be rekindled in you. Where will you find belonging? You'll find belonging in God's house. There's an awesome sense of belonging. You may ask, well, Kevin, can't I believe without belonging? I get asked this all the time. Well, yes, you can, but not for long. You can't survive without a family, the family of Christ, in your life for very long. There's just too much opposition. There's too much of the ways of the world and the enemy that come up against us to try and strangle and destroy what God is doing in our lives. We need the church. Life groups launch again this week after the summer. We need each other in our life groups. Life groups is more than a Bible study and singing a few Christian songs together and eating a nice cake from Waitrose. It's way more than that. It's about community. It's about the Christian community in action, caring for one another and reaching our world. It gives us a great place to belong. Amen. Do you know what I've found out? There's no fruit in a Christian's life when they're just floating around. But when we get connected with the church, God's house, as Psalm 92 pointed out to us, we will flourish. Secondly, you will get to live a much larger life. You will get to live a much larger life. God created the church to meet your five deepest needs. Do you know that? Number one, a purpose to live for. Number two, a people to live with. Number three, principles to live by. Number four, a profession to live out. Number five, a power to live on. There is no other place on earth that gives you the purpose you need, the people you need, the principles you need, the profession of faith you need, and the power we need to get through our lives. Jesus has given it to the church. And we can live our lives out bigger. There's something the local church can do when we get together as the local church and we worship and we give and we sacrifice and we get involved in the life of the church and in outreach and everything we do. It is much bigger than one's own little life. And then globally, we can have a global impact. Throughout the centuries, the church has built hospitals, built orphanages, taken care of the sick and the poor and the vulnerable. There's no way we can do that as an island, stuck all by ourselves. But once we connect it with the church and the church is connected globally, we can do things that we could never have dreamed of doing, or maybe could dream of doing it, but never do it on our own. There's a power that Jesus has in the church as he expands his great love story throughout humanity. Let's go to the next slide. This happened two Sundays ago, and I want to show you this is in South Africa. You know, we're in South Africa for a while, visiting family, but a lot of ministry. And there's a place near Bloemfontein, which is near Joburg, called Biltfontein. It's in the middle of dry lands. And Rivers Group, which is the charity ministry, which Isabel heads up, felt burdened to start building a church there, a church building. Started with a steel structure. You can see the gates around it. And for the day, just some kind of tent in it. Those are the pastors. Pastor Lucky and Pastor Ntabaseng. They pastor the church. They gave up banking jobs in the city to follow God's call. And 12 years ago, God said to them, someone you don't know but who you will get to know will build you a building and it will cost you nothing. On our own, on his own, he couldn't do it. No finances in their community. They look after orphans. They look after the crippled. They feed people. You can see there's a person coming in their wheelchair. I think that wheelchair is going at super lightning speed. They're so excited to get a church. A whole new generation there of people that God's raising up in a country that needs a solution. And the church is becoming the solution. Could they do that on their own? No. Could we do that on our own? No. But globally, as the church connects and meets together, we become bigger people. We become larger people. We can do much more with our global lives than we ever can do on our own. We belong to a global organization that impacts and changes people's lives every second of every day throughout planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? And lastly today, it helps you become all God wants you to be. The church helps you become all God wants you to be. When I got into God's house as a young man, it taught me how to live. Our pastor taught us how to date. It was very helpful for a 16-year-old. Also taught us how to respect other people around you and older people, and honor your parents and your church leaders. I watched as a young dad how other men raised their children, and I learned from them. I learned what it meant to be a servant and a child of the Lord. I learned what it meant to be a giver. I'm learning now what it means to build a church for tomorrow, today, and release the giftings and anointing God has given me as a leader into the lives and contexts of other people. The church will build your beliefs. I'm sure you agree with me that there is a huge deficit in today's world when it comes to biblical belief. It's all about, how are we going to learn? The local church is the place you learn. Show up. Sunday after Sunday, you'll learn something, another brick in the wall of the principles and lifestyle and glory and goodness and mercy and grace and kindness and purpose and destiny that God wants to pour out into your life. Is it risky? Yes, it is. You say, but I've been hurt. I've tried this church thing. You know, I had a sheep next to me, you say, who bit me. And, you know, biting sheep aren't nice. I've been hurt. Let me level with you. Whenever relationship is involved, it's a highly volatile situation. Both blessing and hurt can be involved. but the church is greater than any hurt. Jesus is greater than any hurt. Nicky Gumbel, I quote him again, said this: stop looking for the perfect church. It does not exist. Even if it did exist, the moment you joined it, it would no longer be perfect. Have you been hurt in the church? Or are you scared of hurting someone? I hope this helps you. Next slide, please. Think before we speak. Think before we speak. Something practical. Maybe this is your Monday thing. You can take this to work, to uni, to school, wherever we are. Before we speak, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? I don't know. My mum always taught me, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. Is it necessary? Is it kind? Let's conclude. I believe with all my heart that there are people right here today saying, you know what? I feel like I'm drifting. I feel all by myself. You may even feel like you're targeted by the enemy. And the enemy's just having a field day in your life. I'd encourage you, wherever you come from, I know you've got a lot of visitors this morning, get connected. Get connected. Get connected. I'm excited about this message because this message doesn't only now, with this congregation, have an impact on Buckhurst Hill and its immediate, and it's not so immediate reach, but it has much more of a reach because you can go home and you could apply this and you could get connected and your life and other people's lives can be changed both locally and globally when we get planted in the house of God. Get connected and just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just show up and see what the Lord will do. They say that there are four main bones in every church. The wishbone, wishing somebody else would do something about the problem. The jawbone, doing all the talking, but very little else. The knuckle bones, those who knock everything. And then the backbones, those who serve. And I invite you this morning to be backbones in your local church. And if this is your local church, I invite you to become part of the solution, part of the backbone, part of the vision of what God is doing in this house, because he has great plans for this church, Buckhurst Hill Baptist Church. Let us pray. Maybe you'd just like to say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I'd like to be more committed to the church. I'd like to be the backbone. I'd like to unite with the vision. Help me fall in love with the church all over again. Sometimes to fall in love with the church, we need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We're no longer lukewarm, but we're hot for him. So you just pray a prayer in your heart, what you need to pray right now. And lastly, while every eye is closed and head is bowed, it's an opportunity we count as a privilege to give you at BHBC every Sunday. It's for those who may have drifted away from the Lord and would like to make a commitment to come back to him. Or maybe you've never made a commitment and you'd like to start the journey of faith in Jesus. And then please do get connected to a church. So whether you've moved away or you'd like to give your life to him for the first time, would you join me in the following prayer? Just pray it with all your heart. It goes something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. Forgive me a sinner. Forgive me a sinner. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross. And rose again from the dead. And rose again from the dead. And today I invite you into my life. I invite you into my life. Please make me. Please make me a child of God. I want to follow you all the days of my life. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to ask you to be brave. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to just ask you to slip up your hand. God bless. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. All over the show, God bless you. You can put down your hand. Thank you. Lord, you've seen every hand go up. More importantly, you've seen every heart. And you've called every person to you. And I pray that you would now put your Holy Spirit within these people and seal their salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed the prayer for the first time this morning, very big congratulations to you. If you prayed it as a recommitment, also very big congratulations to you. All of heaven rejoices with you this morning. And please keep this going. If you're local to us, come back to church. Get into a life group where people can care and love and nurture you. And if you're not local to us, please do the same. Get into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church where you can grow and God can make an impact in your life and you can make an impact in other people's lives. Our friends and folks, thank you for joining us here at BHBC this morning. Please invite someone, if you're local, to come with you next week. Do join us, please, for refreshments in the Cara Center afterwards. And if you feel you still need a little bit of further prayer, that's perfectly fine. We are here for you. After the service, the pew on my left, your right-hand side, just take a seat and someone will come and pray with you. It's really been great seeing a great mix of friends and visitors and members here this morning. And my prayer is that the Lord will bless you greatly and be compassionate and kind and merciful to you and give you both his power and his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the worship team, thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning. Would you sing us out with...